At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 384. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me. That's right, with me. But let me point out, a lot less of Cold Coffee is with me today.
Oh,
yeah. Look at it. I hadn't seen you a couple weeks, man.
Doing, I guess so.
You're doing good. Putting in the work.
I appreciate that.
I can see it, man.
I appreciate that. I had a couple. Oscar said something last night, and I didn't even think about it. But he was like, "Dude, you're looking thinner." I was like, "Dude, that's really nice." And I had one of the classmates say something. But I feel it. I still having a hard time seeing. I'm starting to see it like in my belly area.
Right.
And I'm starting to see it a little bit in my face, but I got this big ass beard.
The giant beard does make a little bit of the adjustments hard to track hard in minute detail.
But yeah, man. It's a work in progress. I'm down 36.
36
pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So I'm hoping we had that the UFC gave us that good meal today, and so I might just maybe do a little snack later, or I might just drink water because I'm not really feeling hungry. My body's kind of gotten used to like the intermittent fasting and then getting like a good solid healthy meal.
Right.
And then just, you know, doing some more workout. I've been doing a lot of like two-a-days.
Look at
you. But like just doing like cardio and stuff. Like a lot of times I'll go back into the gym, the garage gym, and like bike for like 5 miles and then hop on like the treadmill or something.
Oh, it's got to be miserably hot in there.
It is and isn't, but I did put a fan. So sometimes if it gets real hot, I'll crack the bottom of the garage open.
Because we're in the middle of it right now in Vegas. We're in that 110 degree kind of.
I don't know if your garage does it, but like this garage here has like these like vents in the wall.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what that's for. If I don't know, just to vent gases or vent something or whatever. But so I feel like it keeps the air sort of going. But then with the fan, but honestly, the heat kind of helps the process because I sweat my butt off in there and stuff. So, like, it's easy to kind of keep it going. Like, even yesterday after the thing, I was kind of tired after we got back from the contender seat. But I went in there and fucking biked for 5 miles and did, like, another, like, 10 minutes on the thing. I've been trying to walk more. Been hitting my 10,000 steps, like, every day. Just trying to get, you know, part of it too, you know, obviously I'm feeling better, you know, the class is helping because I'm seeing better things in there, but also now, you know, and it's probably bad because I'm doing the thing that everybody says don't do when you're like trying to lose weight, and it's every fucking day I measure I hop on the scale and I look at it, but it motivates me, but then I'm like, the days that you know, maybe I drank a lot of water the night before and I don't release it and I'm just like, what happened? I thought I ate good. Then you start like getting upset at yourself. I mean, I understand that's why people are like, don't obsess over the scale, you know. But honestly, by obsessing over the scales, like when I started to see it, I'm like, dude, just go fucking there. Go in the garage and work out a little bit more. Go do something. So we got a long way to go. But
you're past the halfway point though, right?
Past the halfway, but not past the halfway of what I want to lose for myself. I mean, because in terms, honestly, like I'm doing the program to want to lose weight, you know.
Right.
So I am treating it, and I like being a training partner for these guys. It's funny because you know what us fighters do. We're talking about, you know, helping our training partners.
You know, even though I don't have a fight coming up, I got to be in the gym.
I got to be
for
in the
my
gym.
Guys.
For my guys,
they're there for
know?
Me. You know how we do as fighters.
So I'm just trying to go in there. Boy, there was some work today. Boy, I got clobbered in the head a couple times today, which was
good.
But it was good.
Losing weight and brain cells all at the same time.
Well, you know, it's funny because there's the days that, you know, they want to do, like, grappling and takedowns. And I'm like, I hate getting taken down and, like, going – just because this big frame down, up, and down, and up. You know, I feel my age, and I'm just like, can we just – punch each other in the face instead?
can we
do more face punching instead of the other stuff? But no, man, it's been good. But I appreciate that, you know. And I mean, by part of it, just seeing some returns starting to come has been more motivating than anything else to just kind of keep keep going. And, you know, I feel like that, you know, I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, post online. And I feel like a D-bag sometimes doing it. You know, I'm never going to be probably putting like a workout routine because I'm not a workout person. Like, I'm not going to be like, here, do this if you're looking for a nightly workout,
right.
You know. But it has been fun sharing some stuff and getting feedback from people seeing it and stuff, because then it's just like, okay, that picture where I thought it was okay, you know, and I'm looking nasty. Who likes a picture of a fat dude sweating? And I had a lot of people like that last one because they understand where I'm at.
I mean,
in
there's
the
a market for everything. You know what I mean?
Yes, indeed. New Patreon in the works. or you have to take that to OnlyFans. Is that an OnlyFans
That's
product?
That's more of an OnlyFans product, I think.
But no, it's been good. It's, you know, I'm enjoying it. But I appreciate it when people
That's
see
awesome,
something,
because
it's hard for me. Outside of looking at the scale, I don't see it as much. I do. I feel it. Like, my clothes aren't. You know, even today, putting this belt that's normally tighter, I'm another notch in.
I like
so it's
it.
Just those little things that you're just like, fucking A.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. Well, it's inspiring, and just to kind of support you and your efforts, I am, you know, knocking out some 12-ounce curls over here. You know what I'm saying? Some award-winning past blue
but
ribbon.
But you also recently got a comment on – I don't know if you thought of me was just tooling you or if you – because I know you said you were starting to try to
work
some
stuff. I'm trying not to. I'm trying not to have as many frosty beverages on a nightly basis.
Yeah.
I know all the jokes are, you know, oh, you eat too much. I really don't eat that much, unfortunately.
You
I just
really
drink
don't.
A lot.
People don't know that. Like, I mean, because I know even when we would go to buffets, like, I'm the guy that's eating enough for both of us.
Yeah.
And you pick at shit like a little bird. I'm like, I'm going to get money. Our money's worth.
You did.
But you,
you
yeah,
did.
I did.
Used to do some work in Brazil, bro.
But yeah, every time we go out to eat, like, you always like, you eat a little bit. And I'm always like, man, I'm really hungry. I could eat more. And you're like, hey,
like,
let's get that beer. Let's stir it in. You
I'm
know?
Just, yeah, I'm drinking like 3,000 calories a night.
That's
you
it.
Know what I mean? And that. So I gotta back off that a little bit. I gotta back off.
It's
that.
It's the empty calories, and I can feel the difference. Like,
but say, I love a good frosty beverage,
dude. And that's the thing. I'm not trying to not like drink. It's not like I'm giving up drinking. Just right now, especially during like the class, I wanted to make sure that if you say, okay, I'm gonna do this 20-week thing, try at least.
Commit that 20 weeks.
Commit to the 20 weeks
right.
to try to do as much. I'm not saying that. I actually thought about when we got back here. I was like, maybe I'll have a beer, and I was like. Maybe I won't, you know. So it's not like, you know, but it's just little baby steps. But it was like, all right, 20 weeks. Try to just make it easy on yourself by just saying, hey, I'm not really going to drink much.
Yeah.
I drank on the 4th, you know, when I went to go back and see family. But it's cool, man. But I noticed the difference. If I'm – say I work out in the morning and then say if I eat a little something decently. But if I have a couple beers, I feel like my body doesn't digest the food as well and process it. You know, which is kind of weird. I'm sure that
like,
smarter
people
would be like.
Oh, I think it's literally like the worst substance on earth for every body function that we have,
right.
other than your brain being right.
But it makes you feel so good. I don't understand.
It messes up like every other organ in your body.
Right. But. And Dolce's been going hard. Do you ever watch it? Like, lately on his Instagram
dude,
shit.
Dolce's as jacked now as he's
dude,
ever
he
been,
is
dude.
So fucking jacked. He's like, his traps. I can't stop looking at his traps. And I'm just like, oh my God. God, he's like straight up a science fiction movie. But lately, he's always like, you want
to
lose weight? When the thing
catch a mouse? Because I see them traps.
I like that. I should say that to him. But I know one of his things, like, you want to lose weight? And he talks about exercise and eating healthy. He's like, don't drink.
I know. I have to get off Instagram every time I see him. I feel like he's talking straight to me. I'm like, Mike.
There might have been a line that flashed up.
You could have just sent me a text or something, man. You don't have to put this out for the whole world to see.
That's funny.
Oh, man. Well, good for you, man. Halfway through
the program. Yeah, I appreciate you asking.
No thoughts of, you know.
Fighting?
No. Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate.
Unleashing Kimbo Slice on the world.
No, but I mean, I'm, you know, because I understand, like, I cardio is still an issue for me. I run the points, but even, like, today, like, my arms, my shoulder felt, like, blasted, but I was like, holy fuck, we still got a bunch of rounds we had to do. And I was like, now imagine if my training partners didn't have to stop while I was trying to, like, recover for something. And that's what a fight would be,
right.
You know? It's one. My cardio is not to the point. I don't want to gas out and then have like feeling not 100% and having a legit heavyweight because I'm struggling to get to heavyweight.
Right, right, right.
I'm not a real. I shouldn't be a heavyweight. I'm a heavyweight because I'm fat. I don't want to fight a legit heavyweight because like they're going to fucking smash me, yep. You know? So, and, you know, I would joke, you know, but seriously, I mean, like, 48 years old, taking your first amateur fight. If I felt better, maybe, but right now, no. But it doesn't mean I don't do Alta again or something or do something down the line. Yeah. You know, maybe I get a wild hair up my ass, but that's what this was. It was never really about that, but, I mean, I'm certainly more in – if I looked at where I'm at now from where I was at the beginning – I'm certainly a hell of a lot more open to the idea now than I was then just from seeing the progress, but it's still not what my goal is or want to do. But I still like fucking punching faces in the class, though.
That's awesome, man. Good for you guys, man. I've been proud of you guys for going at it. So, listen, a couple days removed from history for the MMA Roadshow. The first ever edition of episode of any kind that had no John Morgan involved.
You've been asking
whatsoever.
For all coffee for 7 years.
I did for 7 years. I was having all cold coffee episode, and we finally got one. Shout out to the members of patreon.com/MMA Roadshow, the supporters over there. They got to hear that little bit of history. Of course, if anybody else wants to go over there and sign up for as little as $3 a month, you would have immediate access to that historical moment in the show as well. And I know you didn't love doing it, but I will say thank you. I had a crazy weekend, man. I will admit, last week I bit off more than I could chew, man. I had too much going on at one time, man. I had a trip to Dallas to cover the UFC, which also included bringing my wife and kid with me, which also included seeing my mom and dad, which I was there, which also included a CFFC event in commentary in Memphis, Tunica, Mississippi, actually just outside of Memphis on Friday night. And, man, it was just crazy. You know, Friday night during the co-main event of CFFC, I get a text from American Airlines, hey, your flight's been canceled. We're working on rebooking you. And I was like, ah, damn. All right, well, you know, no big deal. It'll just be a little bit late or whatever because I was flying back on Saturday to get to Dallas for the show. And then I get a text. It's like, hey, we rebooked you for Sunday morning at 7 a.m. And I was like, it's Friday night. Why are you rebooking me for Sunday morning? Yeah. Like, that can't be right. So I go back to my room, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, hey, travel expert. I've done a little bit of this, man. I can make something happen. And so I did find a flight. I mean, this was ridiculous, but I was actually going to fly from Memphis to Charlotte on the East Coast, and then back to Dallas, which, you know, a pain in the ass, but at least it gets me there and whatever. Man, if I'm on the plane and there's power and there's Wi-Fi, like,
you can work.
I can work, you know what I mean? So it's not that big a deal. But so I'm like, all right, well, this is kind of inconvenient, but I'm going to go ahead and go. So I get to the airport in Memphis, and literally as I'm walking in the door, I get a message like, your flight's been delayed. So the flight that I had to Charlotte was so delayed that I was going to miss my connection back to Dallas. So at that point, I'm like, what do I do? Like, do I go to Charlotte and try to find – like, I'm getting further away from Dallas. Yeah. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Going the opposite direction.
Yeah, like, I think I should stay. So I stayed, but I couldn't find anything, man. There was one flight that was leaving for Dallas, like, right as I got there, but it was completely oversold, overbooked. I couldn't get anything there. So just an absolute – I don't know. And to this day, I still have no idea why the flight was canceled. But I ended up not being able to fly out till Sunday. So – I just went, got like a random hotel room in Memphis and set up in there and had some frosty beverages delivered to the room and opened up the laptop and just watched the pay-per-view from there and flew back on Sunday morning to Dallas, picked up my family.
To collect the family.
Basically
and go
flew
back
to DFW. My mom, thankfully, my mom came and picked me up from DFW and drove me to her house, which is about 30 minutes away, 35, and then took a little nap because I was exhausted because I stayed up most of the night and then collected the family, drove back out to DFW, and flew home. But ultimately, there was no way for me to do the show, and so I had the last second kind of dump that on you. But you were happy to deliver.
I was so happy.
Well, there was less resistance than I anticipated getting when I was
like – because I knew it had to happen.
Yep,
it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, fuck. And, you know, because part of me was like, aren't you sure you could just do it tomorrow? And then I was like, I know he's going to be moving. And I was just like, oh, yep. Okay, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, it's crazy, and it's funny because I was going to tease you again because that week, I like how you set it up. You're like, oh, I had a lot of things going. The family was here. I was visiting this because I was like, oh, you mean also it was in the middle of a fight week. You're leaving the fight week to go do another event. I was like, why does that sound familiar? Why does that sound familiar? What's happening this week? What's happening this week?
I'm leaving to go do another event.
Yeah, isn't that something? So, as John said, lesson learned, I suppose.
But no, see, it wasn't the problem. It was all the other stuff. But yes, actually, thank you for pointing that out. I am actually flying out tomorrow morning. Thursday morning, I'm flying to – now, this is a much shorter trip. I'm going to L.A. from Vegas, and I'm going to be calling Callum Walsh's next boxing match. So I'm pretty excited about this, man. This is Hollywood Fight Nights is the name of the promotion. It'll be on UFC Fight Pass. So if anybody wants to check it out and see me doing a little bit of boxing commentary, I certainly would appreciate it. Thursday night, Callum Walsh, undefeated King Callum Walsh, young Irishman, 3-0 thus far in his career, 3 first-round knockouts. Had a chance to meet Dana White and Tom Loeffler, who's the promoter, actually got a deal with his promotion on Fight Pass, and he's fighting Benjamin Whitaker in the main event. It's a 6-round fight at 154 pounds, and I already talked to Tony Ferguson as well. Tony Ferguson trains with Callum Walsh a little bit. He said he'll be in the house, so be sure and check in with El Kakui.
I was going to say, if you want to see this kid back in – this is – I guess it was in May. That wasn't even that long ago. It looks like it was in the UFC 274 fight week. They brought him in the back. And remember, they were like – I remember Chris Costello, UFC PR, was like, hey, guys, we're going to bring this kid back, you know, boxing. He's going to be doing the UFC Fight Pass. And I remember we were just like, who is this? Who is this? He comes in. He was super polite, fresh face, young, looked like a young little kid, you know. He was 20 – I guess he's 21 at the time.
Right.
I guess he's probably
21,
still
yep.
21 now. Yep. But, no, it's pretty spectacular. But if you want to see who this kid is, and he's obviously got a lot of hype around him. From what it made it seem like, they made this sort of thing around him.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, no pressure, kid.
None at
no
all.
No pressure.
Yeah. You came in and met UFC President Dana White. He wants to see you do well, and he's building this, you know, organization around you. And so check it out. But, yeah, no, I'm excited. I've gone back and watched his fights, obviously, in prepping for this event. And, you know, like boxing, I mean, he hasn't really been – fully tested yet this early in his career, just 3-0, 3 first-round knockouts. But this week, on Thursday night, he'll actually be fighting Benjamin Whitaker, who's 15-8. So, I mean, obviously, still not a top-ranked guy yet, but a much more experienced guy. You know, this is not some – and it's not somebody that's, you know, 0-12 or 1-15. And I talked to Tom Loeffler, the promoter, on the phone, and he said, listen, that's the way we're building this organization. He's like, you know, if you want to call it kind of more that MMA mindset of the way, you know, you guys have done it, then maybe so. But, you know, we're not doing showcase fights. We're here to get guys tested and to push them. And, you know, yeah, he's not fighting a world champion yet. He's 3-0, but it is a step up in competition for him. So, you know, they're not waiting until he's 15-0 or 20-0 to give him a step up in competition. He's getting it now. So I'm excited to do that. So.
It reminds me, he trained under Freddie Roach as well,
does,
right?
That's right.
Yeah,
yep.
Like that's legit. I mean, like – that's legit.
Yep. Trains with Freddie Roach. Had a 44-10 amateur record as a young teenager, and then came over and
that's crazy.
Wanted to train with Freddie Roach. And they said, all right, you can do
21
it.
21 years old, yeah, and he's already had a
44-10. So he had
so ridiculous.
54 amateur
he started
fights.
Fighting when he was like 10.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like 13, I think, when he started fighting.
My Lord.
Yeah, it's crazy. So
that's awesome.
I'm excited for it. So, yeah, obviously I've been to some boxing events and covered some boxing events. And, you know, people always say, oh, hey, you know, you're into MMA. Do you watch boxing? And I tell them I like boxing, but truth be told, I really don't get to watch that much of it just because – you know, the events are usually running the same time we're doing events. So I'm my attention's on that. But certainly a fan of the sport and have an appreciation for the art and looking forward to be a part of this broadcast on Thursday night. So tune in on UFC Fight Pass, if you will. Let's show them some numbers. Let's let them know.
So you get some more offers.
Yeah, so maybe they want to bring me back. You know, it's just a one-time thing for now. They need somebody to fill in. I think they've done a couple of shows, and the talent that they were using wasn't available. So they brought me in. But, you know, hey, man, maybe I impress them a little bit, and they like me, and they say – be our guy, John. Be our guy.
You are becoming the UFC Fight Pass commentary guy.
Well, that's the thing. I wanted to chase this part of my career, and that's, you know, unfortunately made some changes in my day job, but enjoying it and getting to chase this part of it, man.
You know
passion.
What it didn't change?
What's that?
You still getting nominated for the MMA Journalist of the Year against your arch rival, Mike Bond.
Oh, yeah. The,
and that other outlet
that
you used
other
to work
outlet
for.
Over there. Yeah, I did get nominated once again. I appreciate you pointing that out, man. It was a busy week last week, so I still need to tweet about that.
I was going to say, you haven't tweeted anything.
I know, I need
to. I've been making a big point because I know that, you know, I've never been the biggest fan of this thing, but I also know that between loyalties on sides and stuff, I was like, I'm just not even going to fucking tweet anything. I'm not going to say anything. They've been pushing it, obviously, how they do. They want everybody to retweet and say stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I hate the awards in the first place. This is just giant popularity contest. But I was like, I'm not going to, because I felt like that's like drawing weird like conclusions. People are like, oh, why is he doing this? Isn't he gonna blah 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 blah? So I'm just like, I'm just leaving it alone.
I enjoy the fighters.
I was
only
mad, upset that Oscar didn't get it. I was like, I probably shouldn't share his story why he thinks he didn't get nominated.
Yeah,
I'll tell you off.
All right. And thanks for listening. I want to hear the story. No, I do like the Fighters Only Awards. I enjoy the ceremony. You're right. And as far as the popularity contest, I mean, it literally is just a fan vote. So
we should have Junkie should have had it for multiple years, you know, since the last time we won it. And, you know, now the fact that they're just like, all right, let's just give it to the guy that has the biggest platform right now. And it's just like, is he still even doing journalism at half the time? He's like, come on, guys, really?
But that's it.
I like it. I mean, I like the guy.
I love coming to the awards, man.
You get fucked up, have a good old time.
Everybody's all dressed up, and we got open bar, and I just have fun, and it's a good time, man. You get to see everybody. You know, when
I've never seen you turn down an open bar.
No. I'll be a fan of anything if there's an open bar. I'll be like, oh, no, I love this, man.
You're like, this is the funeral parlor's convention of the year.
I never knew a knitting convention could be so cool, man. This is awesome. I actually do. It is fun for me to see like everybody dressed up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's not like we're rarely.
I'm sure,
all
they get a kick
like
out of you.
Cause
it's the only time you wear pants.
That
literally one time a year you wear pants. You'll go to a wedding and wear shorts.
Oh, I would absolutely.
But like this thing, you actually wear pants, and it's a suit. You wear a full-on suit.
You gotta show some respect. You know,
it's black normally tie. It's like you say people have to pay to wear a suit.
That's the one time I don't get a paycheck. And I wear a suit.
I love it.
All right, listen, busy. So, historic week. UFC was fun last week, but, of course, the show, we're in that busy stretch now, man. You get Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series.
Yeah.
But I will say this, man. Man, Tuesday Night Show was good.
It was worth it.
Really good.
It was worth
it. And look, I love the Contender Series, man. I do. It's just, it gets really busy when it's Monday weigh-ins, Tuesday fights, Wednesday media day, Friday weigh-ins, Saturday
fights.
And
that's just if it's in town.
Yeah.
So, like, next week, it's Tuesday night doing Contender Series, then I hop on a 5 a.m. flight to go out.
Oh.
So, yeah, these next 2 weeks are going to, like, But Contenders is so much fun.
So, are you flying to Salt Lake City on Wednesday also?
Yeah.
I'm flying Tuesday, so I'm going to miss Contender Series. So.
Yeah. I did it just for that because I was like, I feel bad. Like, if it's in town, I'm like, I feel bad missing it. And then Southwest has a direct flight at, like, a 5 a.m. It gets me there at, like, 7:30 or something like that.
Man, bro, though, that's that.
It sucks.
3 o'clock wake up call, straight into media day.
For me, it's probably even earlier than that because I obsess about getting there earlier so I can check my bag and stuff. So yeah, I mean those ones always kind of worry me, but and it's such a short flight that I doubt I'll get sleep. But it's just like I just got to muscle through until that evening.
That's fun.
And it'll suck. Oh. But I'll have more than likely, at least for the first one, that's not the San Diego one. I'll have Thursday off.
Right.
So I'll be able to recover for that. But, yeah, for Salt Lake City, we'll have a presser.
So for the week of UFC 278, that's 278, right? Or 277?
Or is it 8?
78, 70. I think Dallas was 77. I can't
keep
saying
you're right.
Salt Lake 278. So I'm just going to shout out to all the MMA Roadshow listeners. Week of UFC 278, look for a cranky cold coffee on Wednesday night who has woken up at 3 a.m., done a media day, and then sits down to record the podcast.
Yay.
But at least we'll both be in Salt Lake City together. We'll actually be on the road together because I'm not doing San Diego, but I will be doing Salt Lake. So the road show will be on the road together.
Salt Lake City.
It's been years, man.
It's been a long time.
Years. Well, that's fine. That one where we're staying way outside of
but
town,
I mean,
too.
I will drink then.
Yes?
I will drink, yeah. I'll need it, you know, because at some point, you're like, I'll just be so, like, I'll probably have a beer. I imagine just a beer? Well, we'll see.
Come on.
We'll see.
You're not having a
it's
beer.
It's a press conference the next day. We'll see.
At 5 o'clock at night.
That's true. We'll see.
If you're not recovered by 5 o'clock at night.
You know, Oscar's actually been really good, too, because he's gone the things. He's like, bro, you want me to bring my mitts? We can get work. I was like, dude, that sounds really good. So we'll see. I don't want to talk myself out of it because, I mean, I want to have a beer.
I'll sit there and have frosty beverages and watch you guys hit mitts and just critique your form, talking trash.
It's been fun. I mean, like, it's fun. Oscar's got he's got really good movement. He's got quick hands and stuff. So it's been fun. I like giving them, you know, I mean, obviously, like, a lot of the young kids, as I call them, because they're all literally could be my children. I like being able to give them work, you know. But some take it easier on me because I think they're afraid to sort of punch at me. But Oscar doesn't. Oscar's just like, fuck it, yeah. That's why it was funny about the other guy that I was going with, Richie. There's a big guy that Oscar's talking about. He's 31. He certainly had no qualms about throwing some fucking heat. But no, I like it. I mean, like that sort of stuff. And I like, I know Oscar's taking this very, very seriously. And like, he's been getting work on the road. So I know he wants to try to do it. So if we did it, I mean, we would probably end up sparring as opposed to like, just like here, hit my mitts and stuff.
All
like
right.
That.
So we just clear out a hotel room. I get to drink frosty beverages and you guys spar. I'm down.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be like crazy. Like, but yeah, I'm down.
Calm down. I might live podcast live, while you like guys. I'll
as soon as I started saying that, I was like, oh my God.
I'll commentate your sparring
only
session.
For Patreon members.
Oh, that would be great. You guys would be cracking up. Oh, that'd be fun. All right, listen, contender series. I did want to ask you real quick. First of all, a heartfelt shout out to my man Charlie Campbell, who of course fights in the CFFC. And I mean, my man Charlie Campbell, the Cannibal. He had the contract locked up, dude. They were already legal was already typing his name on the contract. They were just ready to hit send on the email, and then he got clipped by Chris Duncan. And good for Chris Duncan. I mean, you know, Chris Duncan multiple times, and we know the journey that he went through of like, I'm fighting, I'm not fighting, I'm in the UFC, I'm not in the UFC, I'm back on contenders. So good for him. But
to
I just
weather
wanted,
that storm. Oh, I mean, gosh. he was getting pounded. And you know what's crazy is. The fight before that was so darn good because I remember somebody came at me on Twitter because when I tweeted out my picture, I had a slash and I had the co-main guy. I was like, man, maybe give it to loser. And he's like, what? You're not going to give it to the main guy? And I didn't even really think about it, but I think it was like at the end of the event, I was just like, oh, man, let's just get to the back. So I did the picture and I was like, more I thought about it, I was like, you're right. He was sort of leading it, but maybe it was the fact that we didn't have that such back and forth like we saw in that second to last fight right. between the two that made me just think like, oh my God, both these guys are equal level. The thing that when I was thinking about on this one with Campbell is that he was so dominant, but it was like the first time Duncan touched his chin, he went down.
This just goes to show you how hard Duncan hits. Cause
that's what I think it is.
Does not have like a suspect.
That's
chin.
What I was going to say. And I doubt that it's that, but I was like, man, why didn't I initially think like, oh, it had to give that guy a one. And I was starting to come up with reason, but I think it was just the fact that it was the end of the event. It was so quick. And that fight before it was just so back and forth that I was so excited by it.
Yeah.
That at this point I was just like, okay, well, this guy's getting a contract, and then I left it alone.
I'm definitely biased because I love to see guys from the CFFC get love and move up to the next. Yeah. But I thought the same thing. I was like, hold on, man. Charlie was literally tuning him up, man. Yeah. And I thought showing really good patience, right? You see that sometimes, especially with young guys, you know, they hurt somebody and they rush, right? He was like, whoa, back away, sprawl, hit, you know, landed big uppercuts. So I thought, you know, if there's one that you could, it's like, well, dude, you were winning that fight until you got clipped by one shot. Yeah. You know what I mean? But to your point, Vinicius Salvador at flyweight, I'm all in on this guy, but Shannon Ross was his opponent, the one that had an amazing fight as well. I honestly thought Campbell and Ross were both candidates for being – and we've only had one so far where a loser has gotten it, and in that fight, Dana thought it was judged the wrong way and it should have gone the other way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know that – you know, there certainly wasn't any incorrect judging with Vinicius and Campbell straight up lost. So we haven't seen somebody straight up like – Lose and get one.
And get one. Yeah,
but I
did
think both those guys should have been cut, at least in discussion.
And he even said that afterwards, he's like, those guys are UFC caliber fighters. Like, you know, it was which one was it? Was it what he's like? It was a compliment and not a compliment.
That was Salvador and Ross, I believe, where he's like, that was a UFC prelim level fight. And you're like, it was funny. Like, I know he meant that as a compliment. Like, it could fit on the UFC prelims and nobody would be like, what is this doing here? Like, you would be like, oh, that was a great fight. But it sounds funny because you're saying like, oh, no, I mean, you're at least like a UFC prelim kind of guy. It was pretty funny.
You're the guy that people haven't showed up yet to watch, you know. But no, I mean, it was, and I, the way he said it, you're exactly right. I think his brain, when he thinks about it differently, you know, maybe in his mind, he might come back and say, prelims, we want some of the most exciting guys to start the night off, so we put them on the prelims. You know, whereas a lot of other people are like, we're always like, are you upset you're not on the main card? Like, we're the one. Maybe we're the ones that are making it worse than what they see it as, you know. So in his mind, maybe he was thinking like, dude, I'm giving them my second best compliment, yeah. you know, or something.
I will say this, you know, in terms of like Dana saying stuff sometimes, not really realizing the implications of it, I will say kudos to him for coming back and clarifying after last night that Anthony Smith did have a break. Because remember, like,
again, even though that news was already out by
it
that
was,
time.
I think he wanted to make sure.
Yeah,
just because,
that
like,
people heard it from him because he felt like he set it up.
In Dallas, he was like, they were like, oh, is there a fracture? And he was like, no, they didn't find a fracture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, it's not him thinking like, oh, what did I just do? Like, I basically made it seem like Anthony Smith was like lying about having a fracture. Like, it's not what he meant. It just, that wasn't the initial thing.
So yeah, so that was him owning it. Yeah, that's
kind of cool
for him owning it. You're right.
All right, last thing I want to say about this, I just want to say, I guess, I wanted to ask you, but I think we'll probably be on the same page, but I was going to ask you if any of the five most excited you, but I have a feeling it's probably saying that. Vinicius Salvador, number one, as a flyweight, finishing fights, unbelievable. But if this kid can learn some English, man, because his personality was hilarious. And obviously, Fabiano was doing a great job translating, and Fabiano is the Portuguese translator you've seen a lot of lately, and he does a good job.
Boy,
because
he did some work today.
He did some work today. He had some long answers. But he does a really good job translating. But it was so funny because, you know, my limited Portuguese based on my limited Spanish, like I was picking it up as he was saying. It was kind of funny that, you know, he was basically talking about how great it was and how great it felt, and then he picked up the Monster water and held it to the cameras, like, and it was because of this Monster water and this Monster energy, you know, like plugging the product or whatever. And then later on, he plugged the Howlerhead whiskey as well, like doing just like, you know, product play. And it was just, the energy was great. So, I mean, a guy that can fight like that, that can talk like that, that can have that much fun. But if he could take that next level. And again, I always preface this by saying, I'm not that jackass that thinks that everybody needs to know English. I get it. Where you come from, they speak Portuguese, and I don't speak much Portuguese. I get all that.
Yep.
But the majority of the fan base, you know, obviously, especially here where they're paying pay-per-views, which drives the, you know, the revenue rates, it's an English-speaking audience. And if you can communicate with them, it just resonates to a higher level.
I mean, because if you could break in that market with that personality, I mean, it would be gangbusters. You know, I mean, that's one of the crazy things about American fans. You know, like, Brazilians love Brazilians. You know, the English guys like the English fighters. Americans were just like, hey, we like all of them.
Yep.
You know, so he has just a good chance, if he comes up saying the right things and delivering fights like that, to win over the American fans as anybody else. But the big final spot is that they have to be able to understand him.
That's it.
They can understand his facial and his excitement. I mean, like, anybody looking at what he was saying could tell, like, wow, this kid's got something to him, you know.
Right.
But, man,
I mean, imagine, like, if Patty Pimblett or Molly McCann, like, two of the, you know, popular stars, like, their personalities had to go through a translator. You know what I mean? Like, they still have personalities, and you still see the energy, but then you're waiting a second for this guy to translate. Just not
imagine
quite
if they were super drunk up there, then having to wait for that to get translated, and it ends up they're just talking about pizza and the bad parts of the leftover of the pizza or the sandwich or whatever.
That was so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Molly was they're post-fight press conference.
She was so wasted. At some point, I was just like, can we just pull the plug on this already? Like, it was funny for the first 20 minutes.
Oh, she's a trip,
but,
man.
Oh, she's – what a character.
She's the best.
But, no, so in your point, yeah, Vinicius was one of the ones that really stood out for me last night. I was excited to see Cortez Acosta come out banging like he did.
If he – but that – the physicality that he has, the speed, the power, like, if he can refine – as Dana said, there's a lot to work on.
Yeah.
But the raw materials are there.
His opponent had hell of a chin, too, because he was cracking him. But, no, he was great. Everybody, even Francis Marshall was fantastic. That went to a decision. But, man, I thought that was a great fight. And then, you know, of course, Duncan, man, I thought he was saying the right things as well in the back. I mean, he's another cat that if he could build him up in that market, man, that's huge for them. I mean, I think they look at these European guys and they're just like, please, please do well because we could build you.
Absolutely.
You know, that market's hitting off. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't have that big of a problem with the first week of Contender Series. I know a lot of people were like, oh, just blah, blah, blah. And Dana's like thinking it was like the worst thing ever. There were still some decent fights that just – there were moments, there weren't as many moments where you were just like, wow, but there were still glimpses. So, like, I didn't feel bad, like, on the first week.
It wasn't amazing. It wasn't, you're right. I'll be honest with you. I think Dana was most upset that show happened while Lorenzo
was there.
I really
I still thought we were
going
to see three contracts.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I'm pretty good at picking these things. In seasons past, I think we would have saw three contracts.
That's funny.
But there was just something weird about that particular night, and I guarantee it was, because it was Dana, and on his right was Lorenzo. On his right was Lawrence Epstein. On the far end of the table was Hunter. Those guys are never there.
Yeah.
So they literally brought out the big dogs to everybody get together and powwow, and they probably wanted to have great fights and then go back and plan the taking over of the world. And then they had fights that didn't
really
live up to it.
I really think that was part of his frustration. I really think that was a big part of his frustration.
Right. I bet you're right.
Lorenzo was there. But you're right. It was. But Tuesday was great. So if you haven't, for whatever reason, seen this week's Contenders episode, seek it out, man. It was highly, highly entertaining. And, of course, it all leads into UFC on Saturday night on ESPN and ESPN+. The main event, Thiago Santos versus Jamahal Hill. Great light heavyweight fight. Meaningful light heavyweight fight. One that Jamahal Hill opened, I think, is like a minus 250 and continued to be bet up all the way to like a minus 300, I think, is when I looked at it this morning. And I think that's understandably so. I mean, I guess what's interesting about this to me, I mean, you know, everybody's going to look at Thiago Santos, and you hear it all the time. You're like, oh, he's just not the same anymore. You know, he had the knee injuries, and he's not the same guy. But he's also facing some elite-level competition,
yeah,
man. I mean, he is facing the best of the best and having some setbacks. But, you know, not getting tuned up, man. Not, like, just getting absolutely worn out in these fights. You know, he's competitive, but he's just not winning. I mean, you look at who he's lost to. Okay, yes, John Jones, Glover Teixeira, Alexander Rakic, and then Magomed Ankalaev. I mean, he's fighting nothing but the top five, right? And then you look at Jamahal Hill. Now, Jamahal Hill, I'm not trying to take away from a win over Johnny Walker, a win over Jimmy Crute, a win over Vince St. Preux. I mean, all those are relevant, you know, victories and meaningful victories, especially, you know, when you're doing them the way he has in the first round, these last two, picking up performance bonuses. But, you know, Paul Craig, of course, showed that there is a path to victory on the ground. And, you know, we haven't seen him really pushed late very often in his career. So I guess there's paths to victory here. In my wagering analysis for Sports Illustrated, my recommendation was really an underplay on, like, under 2.5 rounds. When I looked at it this morning, you could get under 2.5 rounds for, like, minus 165, which to me is a lot better than putting – minus 300, any matchup in MMA, once you start getting about minus 300, that scares the heck out of me to put that type of money down. So I'm intrigued by this fight. I think a lot of people are probably looking at it as it's an automatic win for Jamahal Hill. I wouldn't go that far. I do think he's got to go out there. But mm-hmm. I will say this, man. Jamahal Hill, his scrum today was intense, man. Like,
yeah,
he's just feeling it. He got a little bit emotional talking about you know, reminiscing over, you know, watching it on TV and just dreaming about being here and, you know, and now he's here and his
yeah.
second main event in a row and, you know, coming from nothing and now he has a little something in his pocket, you know, and man, he got emotional kind of looking back, but he's also just intense when he talks about, you know, so I think somebody asked him about whether, you know, he sees kind of a lessened Thiago Santos, and he was like, I whip the ass of whatever version Thiago Santos shows up. You know,
yeah,
it's the Thiago
that
Santos
so
that
awesome.
Fought John Jones, I'll whip his ass too. And it's just, it's that confidence, and he's got the skills, and man, this could be, I think, you know, I think this is a big breakout moment for him right here, potentially. Although Thiago Santos, for his part, and Thiago doing his interview in all English, by the way, continues
yes,
to do that.
Yes.
But, you know, he said, look, it's the best training camp I've had since before I fought John Jones. He said, you know, obviously
more
he's got –
more fighters said that.
No, right? Yeah, best camp ever. and, you know, obviously he's a dad now, so he did talk about, you know,
he's
kind of
that
motivation.
He's got that dad strength now.
He's got that dad strength. And, you know, I think that's the thing we always thought Thiago was missing was strength, right? But now,
yeah.
But now he's a dad.
Strength and toughness.
Yeah, we always thought – but I don't know. So, listen, meaningful main event, not one that's going to secure a title shot for anybody, but I think – this is a big breakout opportunity, I think, for Jamahal Hill
yeah.
if he wasn't already there. But I will say I'm just not ready to just chalk up the win and say we don't even need to tune in on Saturday.
Yeah, and so – but for the breakout, has to be a finish, right?
Has to, yeah. If it's a decision, which, you know –
That's the thing.
Because Thiago has gone to a lot of decisions.
Four out of his last five has went to decisions. So I was here – that stuck in my head because when you said that you won with the under 2.5 – that needs Jamahal to have something happen. I don't know if we're going to see Thiago do that to Jamahal. I mean, he always can catch him. If anything, I feel like it would be Jamahal would have to give that to Thiago. But we see Thiago is so darn tough against these last guys he's fought that he's been able to get to that decision.
I think Thiago touched on it a little bit right today, right? He said, because I asked him, what do you expect? And he said, you know, I feel like when people fight me, like they want to wrestle me. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
they don't want to strike. And I just don't feel like Jamahal Hill's like
Jamahal
you know
Hill's
what?
Not going to
right. Like he's like Jamahal Hill's not sitting in the gym right now going, you know, if we wanted to minimize the risk in this fight, we really wouldn't strike with him because that's probably the only place he can beat us. Like, why don't we grapple and we'll clinch and we'll hold this against the – he's not doing that. He's just like, I could knock him out. Let's just go knock him out. You know what I mean? So that's why – because I think you're right. And I think what Thiago said is right. I think a lot of people do tend to wrestle him because they realize, like, well,
they don't
want to
take those
leg
kicks.
I don't want to stand in front of him, you know? So, but I don't think Jamal's going to do that.
I don't see that at all. I mean, I just don't see him because, one, I mean, with that fire that he had in his, you know, everything that he said today, there's no, like, hey, I'm going to play the safe route in there. You know, he wants to go out there. I think he understands that this he's at the precipice of getting to the point where people can't not mention his name when you're starting to talk about the guys at the top of the division. But to do that, you he's got to finish him. I mean, like – yes, well, if he can get a decision win over him and it's a good fight and it's exciting, it's going to move him up and, you know, and it's going to look good because, you know, a win over Thiago Santos in any fashion is a good thing. But if you want to start talking about jumping the line and having people start saying like, hey, should we have already had this guy in conversation? You got to come out there and get a big finish, you know? I mean, and you're not going to do that by wrestling.
No.
But I don't envision him even trying to wrestle unless Thiago catches him with something or maybe starts hurting his leg. If Thiago goes out there and takes his legs away from him with leg kicks, you know, takes it to where he can't lean on and can't really throw that.
It might change it up.
It might change it up a little. But Jamal's so darn tough, man. He'd probably still throw as hard on half a foot. You know, like take both his legs away. He's like, I'm just going to be on my knees throwing bombs, dog. Let's do this.
I mean, I think, you know, he's been a guy that, you know, I think people, even people that, like, scout the regional scene heavily, you know, that before he got to the UFC were like, this kid's got something, this kid's got something. You know, people are, but I think this is the moment where you stop talking about him as a prospect, you know what I mean? And now you start looking at, okay, this dude's an actual contender, you know what I mean? And we got to start looking at these top-level matchups.
Last decision was January of 2020, and before that was June 30th, 2018.
Yeah.
Dude doesn't go to decisions.
No.
That's awesome.
I think this one gets done early, so we'll
see.
Awesome. I'm excited. Co-main event's a good one, too. Vicente Luque versus Jeff Neal. You know, Vicente Luque, credit to him. Credit to both these guys. I mean, they both have a lot of respect for each other. Obviously, these are two very respectful dudes. They're not trash talkers.
Respectful. It's like the two of the nicest guys.
Two of the nicest dudes, but it's cool because they both realize, like, oh, this dude's going to put me in a war. Like, they both said that I'm going to be in a war. It's going to be exciting. I love Luque, you know, just saying, look, I wanted to fight again, and these top-tier guys, you know, a lot of them, it takes a while to get them booked.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Jeff Neal was willing to fight, and I see he's down there in the rankings a little bit, but I like what he's doing, and he's willing to fight me, so let's go.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Jeff Neal ready to take that, you know, that leap up, and it's a big one. Now, it's interesting, right, because Neal being from Dallas, you know, fighting a week after Dallas.
Yeah.
I know he mentioned he was a little bit disappointed, but, you know, when I look at this card, and again, I don't want to – disrespect anybody on the card because I think there are going to be some fun matchups. But you take Luque and Neal off this card, man, and it gets pretty thin pretty quick. You know what I mean?
I think you're absolutely right.
I mean, they just didn't want to lose. I think they needed that for a nice co-main event.
Because that's the kind of thing that should something happen, you know, I don't even want to put it out in the universe.
Right.
Should something happen
you
with the main event,
with that.
You could throw this one up there.
Yeah,
for sure. It's that. It's those. That's those two guys are that caliber sort of guys. I mean, but yeah, I mean, oh man, what a fun fight. I mean, you got one guy that has a lot of skills on the ground, but has good hands, and you have another guy that just has dynamite in his hands. I mean, it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun. Vicente, I mean, this is a dangerous fight for him, you know, because if you lose this, you know, people start looking like, well, he lost to Bilal, you know, where it's like they might have just been like, oh, well, Bilal right now is just, you know, charging to the top. Are you still the you know, top of the division? Who knows? But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. This card should be
It
really,
is big,
really
though.
Fun.
You're right, man. Like, you know, he had a lot of momentum. If he loses here, man, that's a huge setback. So a big fight here. You know, obviously he's got the more big fight experience as well, so I think you'd certainly favor him in the matchup. But Neal can be dangerous. You know, he was dealing with some kind of body issues for a while, and now he's doing okay. And if you look at the lines, you know, Luque a slight favorite, which I think is right. It was funny, by the way, Jeff Neal, who I don't think always loves talking to the media, seemed to be pretty comfortable today, and it was really funny. It was one of the most relaxed I've ever seen him in a media session.
And he kicked it off, right? He was the first, wasn't he?
He was early on, very early on. Yeah, I think he was like second or third,
maybe.
Very, very early on. But it was pretty funny because he was kind of reliving his experience of getting into the UFC and being on the Contender Series, and he talked about his manager calling him at work.
And
his manager called him at work, and he left. You know, the way he's like, "You got to leave. You got to leave now." Yeah, because he was waiting tables. He's like, "You got to leave now." And he was like, "So I just left." And I'm like, "Just walk out in the middle of your shift." He was like, "No, no, you know, like." And then we all just started joking about, like, "Fuck your breadsticks. I'm leaving. I'm out." You know,
eat your peanuts and be happy, motherfucker.
It was fun. He got a crack up out of that, which was good to see because I feel like sometimes he's kind of nervous in there, kind of uptight about it. But he was super relaxed, and he was cracking up a little bit, so that was good to see. Then we get into the Ultimate Fighter finales. Based on your comments earlier, so I did watch every episode. Did you end up watching every episode or most of the episodes?
No, I watched
anyway?
I watched a few of them.
Just a few? Okay.
Yeah, just a few of them.
I watched
it was
all
mainly depending on who was fighting.
I can imagine so.
And then I just skipped to the fights.
Because guys like Muhammad Usman, you want to tune in and fight for. The brother
of
Kamaru Usman. Muhammad Usman versus Zach Parga, they were teammates not only on the show, but they were actually teammates in the gym before they ever got there. So very, very familiar with each other. They made it to the finals. They're both, like I said, they were both on the same team, Team Pena. Mo Usman, for anybody that didn't watch the show, you know, Mo Usman, of course, the brother of the pound for pound great, the welterweight champ. And I love his attitude about it, right? Because he doesn't shy away from it. In fact, he loves the comparisons. And he had a great quote today. He was like, because I asked him, you know, obviously, you're going to be compared to your brother no matter what you do. You're going to be linked to your brother no matter what you do. But do you want people to kind of shy away from that and kind of give you, you know, your right to have your own journey? And he was like, nah, man. He's like, because, dude, if I'm up here and you guys are asking me about my brother, it's because I'm still here and I'm winning fights. You know what I mean? He's like, so that means I'm doing good. And I thought he had a great thing, too. He said, look, my brother definitely got me into this and he's paved the way, but I still have to go out there and do it. He's like,
He was fired up in that answer. I was like, is he coming at John? But I think you became the other people out in the world.
And I'm okay. And I'm okay with that. But yeah, it basically just saying like, look, just because I'm his brother doesn't mean they were just like, so you're in the finals. He's like, you still got to win fights. You still got to get there. I thought that was good. So
yeah.
So that's good. Meanwhile, Zach is undefeated, right? So I mean, this guy's, he's perfect in his career thus far. And according to the odds makers, Zach is the favorite. So based on what you saw on the show.
And you count as amateur. He's on a 12-fight win streak.
That's pretty impressive.
That's impressive. I know a lot of people don't like to put too much into amateurs because, you know, who knows how well they're actually really matched up. But it's something. But, no, when I watched this, and this is me, and when I leaned around today, you know, and I said to John, I said, do you think Usman's the real deal? You know, is he just hype? Is he, you know, is he going to give us what we think we need to see? And I just wasn't quite sure, you know. In some of the fights, I felt like I saw him struggle more than he should have, you know. And just at times, I was like, man, maybe will he – and I guess when I say that, will he be able to shine in the biggest spotlight at that moment with that pressure? And, you know,
he's 5-0. He's a tank. There's no question about it. He's a tank. He's
super
got power.
Tough.
But, yeah, we have yet to see – very complete performances from him yet. So I think you're right. Like,
that's where I was a little iffy on him.
I think he can.
Yeah.
But if I had, you know, if I had to pick a fight, I would probably say Zach, to be honest with you.
Yeah. That's where I went with my staff picks. I went with Zach. Yeah. And this is, I mean, there's just nothing from Usman. I just waiting. And maybe this is the one. Maybe this is when we finally see that full-on performance from start to finish where you're just like, okay, now he's a real problem. He's got all the ingredients and everything there to be a complete problem for the division. I just don't know if it's all right there yet together. And maybe it will be in time to see this. But I don't know. Because, like, I haven't been poring over everything, but just what I saw in the past, I was like, I'm not quite sure. But everything's a toss-up with some of these competitors.
And the other thing, too, is, and, you know, they can make pretty solid improvements from the time they get off the show to the time they're here. Because now they know, like, they're all like, this is their shot. You know, it's one thing to be fighting on the regional stage and thinking, maybe the UFC will see this. Maybe this tape will make it around to Sean and Mick and they'll give me the call. It's another one to know, I win this fight, I'm in the UFC, period. Yeah. Even not like, you know, the Contender Series. You're like, well, I got to win the fight and I got to impress Dana. Right. You know what I mean? We love the Contender Series, but this is a different scenario. It's like, I win and I'm in, period. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
There could be a lot of dedication. So I do think Zach is the favorite, deservedly so.
And another thing, too, I mean, like, he's at the Elevation Fight Team. So they, in Denver, they're fighting at Elevation. Yep. So if there's a guy that's going to maybe have a benefit when it comes to the cardio, which is what you're going to need, and I think what gets you the difference between this, it's going to be that. Well, that's one of the things.
Women's finale at flyweight, almost dead even, according to the odds makers. The slight favorite is Juliana Miller against Brogan Walker. Juliana Miller is interesting. If you watch the show or if you watch any of her interviews, she's quirky, man. That's just all there is to it. She's a quirky individual. But you know what's funny is, so it's quirky and she's saying some funny stuff and she's saying some silly stuff or whatever, but then she hits you with that powerful message of like, you know, 4 years ago, you know, I was ready to end it all. You know what I mean? Like, she was talking, you know, it is interesting to me that she says, I look back on that and I'm frustrated that I was that weak, that I let myself think that way, that, you know, like suicide was the way out. And so it is interesting, like, to kind of chastise yourself for being in that position. But, you know, she doesn't chastise, obviously, others. She's like, I want to show people that you don't have to feel that way.
Right.
That, you know, there is – that if I came from literally nothing, you can come from somewhere too. And it is pretty amazing. You know, we talked about, you know, that amazing Patty Pimblett speech that he gave and how powerful that was. And Juliana's not quite the orator that Patty Pimblett is, but it's still that same powerful message.
Right.
And for her to say, you know, 4 years ago I was on a couch ready to call it, you know, to now I'm on The Ultimate Fighter trying to get into the UFC –
it's pretty darn impressive.
It's pretty powerful, man. It's pretty impressive.
Really. And you know, I wouldn't look too much in the, like, I mean, there's one way to be sort of self-deprecating and say one thing. And maybe when she said it, if she goes back, she maybe would choose different words to sort of say it instead of saying like, oh, I was so weak in that moment. I can't believe I did that.
Right.
Because then when she goes on further, she said some very powerful, very, very clear thoughts, you know, and that meant a lot. But man, I've seen – she's shown so much growth in that series, and I can only imagine that it's gone on more. And I love her personality. I love – she's just quirky. She's fun.
Doesn't mind talking a little shit.
Oh, I know.
Doesn't mind talking a little shit.
And then she's just up there, like – we talk about Vinicius, who was showing personality and just, you know, being quirky. She went up there, started reintroducing herself in the big sort of buffer-esque voice, you know, just enjoying the moment, you know. And there's just something refreshing. I know some people online, I looked at some of the people on the YouTube stream were just like, oh, come on with this girl. And I'm just like, how can you hate on that? Like, her energy level was just takes you over and you can't help but watching it. And then she talks about something good. And then you saw the same people like, oh, man, she must have been a psychiatrist. I'm like, well, if this is what you're thinking, that you need to make a joke about it, you're obviously just a dick, you know, and you're just going to be hating on anything. But it's going to be good. I mean, I look forward to good things. And this is just another, you know, case where we're going to – we've seen fighters grow. They've grown into themselves on the show. And that's one of the things Dana always loved about the show is that you're building these characters and people, you're really finding out a lot about them. But I think these people as well find themselves and now have found their voice. Mm-hmm. She's probably always had a voice, I imagine, and, you know, comfortable to say stuff. But the way that she was able to sort of do it and tell it in a way that was very visual and you could see the, you know, what she was going through was powerful. And I love the fact that the fighters are talking more about mental issues and some of the other stuff. And this, I mean, it's because it's not an issue that just deals with fighters. It's people dealing with stuff all over when it comes to grief, depression. I know my past couple of years have been, I've been very, very dealing with depression and grief and other stuff, you know, and going to the gym and doing what I'm doing now has made me feel better. So when she was saying some of these stuff and how she resonated, it just really resonated her path and then others dealing with it, you know. So I love the fact that fighters are using the platform to talk about it and say stuff. Some might come out more eloquently than others, but the idea is still there.
Just to make it okay to talk about it.
And even, just to make it okay to talk about it.
And that was, you know, what the essence of what Patty
what
said.
Patty
you know,
was saying.
It wasn't even. It was just like, just make it okay to talk about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's okay. Like, there's no stigma. I agree with you 100%. And it's cool. So
should be a good fight.
And Juju can fight. I mean, Rogan's more experienced. Brogan, it was funny. She likened herself to Amanda Nunes in the way she fought. But in fairness, so did Juliana Miller as well, who said, you know, southpaw, you know, touch up. So it should be a good fight. It's usually a good fight. By the way, I will say this too. I forgot to mention, and it came to my mind when I said that she's okay talking shit. How about Zach as well, just coming out and being like, "Well, once I went here, like, there's some UFC heavyweights. They, if you go watch it, and it's,
yeah, like, he's like, you threw out, you're like, just name some names, and he had names ready.
So he goes, once I get in, he's like, there's some UFC heavyweights that got signed during the pandemic that I don't think are very good, and I want to beat them. And I'm like, well, go ahead, because he says eventually he'll go to light heavyweight. He thinks when he, you know, is in title contention further down his career, it'll be at light heavyweight. But he's like, but for now, there's heavyweights that I don't think are very good, and I want to beat him. And I was just joking. I'm like, well, throw out some names. He's like, absolutely. He was like, Parker Porter. I mean, he had a couple of them in mind. I was just like, damn, dude, he's literally rattling off names right now. Like, oh, my God. So
his last fight before he got into the Tough House was at light
heavyweight. Yeah.
Yeah, Marcus Perez. So, I mean – which is good, because when you look at his frame, he's thick. Mm-hmm. He's a big boy, man. If he can maintain light heavyweight, he'll be a problem. He'll be a problem.
Another heavyweight fight in Augusto Sakai versus Sergey Spivak. Sakai, of course, 3 straight losses, frustrating, but against some elite-level competition, so worth pointing that out. But did say, by the way, that he made a change and went to American Top Team. I mean, and that's, you know, you talk about a great place for heavyweights. I mean, for anybody, really. They got
every division.
They really do have every division covered. They're so stacked. But, you know, it's funny, in talking about, you know, we're still kind of talking about the UFC, but in looking ahead to the PFL is this weekend as well. The playoffs get started. Of course, Anthony Pettis and Stevie Ray in the main event there. But Omari Akhmadov and Josh Silvera is one of your semifinals. And it's so funny because you're talking about ATT. You know, that was supposed to be Shoeface. So it's supposed to be ATT versus ATT. It's supposed to be Akhmadov and Shoeface.
Yeah.
Shoeface gets hurt. So an ATT guy steps out and another ATT guy steps in. So now it's still ATT versus still ATT. And by the way, I talked to Josh Silvera and it was pretty cool because he said Conan, his dad, will be in his corner for the fight, even though he's cornering against another American Top Team fighter. And he was like, and to their credit, they said, look, we talked to everybody before the season started. They all understood this was going to be the situation. But they were like, but he just said, like, I hope people understand, like, this is my dad. You know what I mean? He's like, I understand it's a coach versus coach conflict or whatever. But he's like, and I told him, too. I was like, yeah, bro. I'm like, it's your dad. You know, like, you shouldn't have to step out and be like, well, you know, it's my
shouldn't
son.
Have to,
but,
yeah, you shouldn't have to explain it. It's like a no-brainer. Like, why does this coach have the same name as him?
Yeah. You know, it's like, I'm coaching against an ATT guy, but not really. I'm coaching my son. So, looking forward to that, by the way. I'd still love the PFL concept. And by the way, Pete Murray, I love this concept. So for anybody that didn't see this for Sports Illustrated, Pete Murray told me this. The way they're doing the playoffs this year, and I like this, is every fight on every card in the playoffs is a do-or-die scenario. So basically, you know, before they would have the playoffs, and they would just fill it up with kind of like showcase fights, like kind of scouts and talent or whatever. Now, it's one of two things. Either you're fighting for a roster spot. So if you win, you're in the 2023 season. If you lose, bye. Or you're fighting for a spot on the PFL Challenger Series if you're a prospect. Same thing. You win, you're on the Challenger Series. You lose, you're gone. And I think that's kind of cool, to be honest with you.
Cool.
I mean, like, every fight,
it is cool.
Their whole thing is every fight matters. That makes the fight matter. So just a shout-out for anybody that didn't see that. So that'll be on Friday night. So, all right, the main card kicks off on ESPN with Ariane Lipski versus Priscila Cachoeira, which a couple of Brazilian flyweights. And 2 women that honestly, they should throw down. They're both kind of strikers at heart. I think this should be a fun way to start the card, man. I think these 2 girls are going to come out banging. Priscila Cachoeira, you know, I think a lot of people tend to judge her first by her debut, of course, where she just got absolutely throttled by Valentina Shevchenko. But then she ended up losing like 3 straight. But she's 3-1 in her last 4. Meanwhile, Ariane Lipski, you know, the Muay Thai specialist, but she's at ATT as well, so she's certainly rounding out her game. But that could be a fun way to start the night, man. I'm looking forward to this main card. I think it's going to be good.
It should be really, really good. Cachoeira is no joke, man. I think I picked her in our staff picks, which kind of breaks my heart because Ariane Lipski is absolutely gorgeous. If you guys don't know who that is, you should go check her out. But Cachoeira, I just feel like she's got more well-rounded weapons to get that fight. But no, I mean, I think it's a great way of starting. And I love the idea. I mean, like, you're looking at the main card, and I love when they have multiple women's fights on the main cards. They don't do it enough times, so every time that they do, I think it's pretty cool when they do it. But it should be a good start. Should be a really, really good start.
Take a look at the prelims, man. Some of these odds are, man, you talk about odds you don't see very often. As you would expect, Mikhail Oleksychuk is a big favorite against Sam Alvey.
How bad are the odds?
Minus 600.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, minus 600 for Mikhail Oleksychuk. And look, when people say, I don't understand, Sam Alvey has all these losses, how is he on the radar?
Yeah.
How is he on the roster, I should say? Because of this. You call him and you're like, hey, we got this dude that's a killer that nobody wants to fight. And he's like, what day do I need to show up? Tell me when to be there.
Can I bring the family?
Can I bring the family? That's it, man. I got five kids. Can we bring the family? So that's a big one. Check this one out, though. Terrence
and Dana loves Sam Alvey.
Oh, yeah. Because he's going to come fight. You know what I mean?
You know what you're going to get in a Sam Alvey fight. What you're going to get.
He's going to try. Terrence McKinney is a minus 850 over Eric Gonzalez, man. I was a little bit surprised to see that. I mean, I understand Terrence is legit and Eric, you know, just kind of still settling into the UFC, but minus 850, that's up there. Brian Battle is the favorite over Takashi Sato. Jason Witt is an underdog to Josh Quinlan. Miranda Granger is returning. She's a mom now, former CFSC champ. She took some time off. She's up against the prospect in Corey McKenna. McKenna's the favorite there. And Stephanie Egger is a slight favorite to kick off the night against Myra Bueno Silva. So, busy weekend. Like I said, man, it's that time of year. We got Tuesday night contender series. We got some boxing on Thursday night with Callum Walsh. You want to watch that on UFC Fight Pass? You got PFL.
Might recognize
on
the
Friday
voice
night
on there.
Oh, you might recognize the voice. PFL on Friday night, ESPN on Saturday for the UFC. I love it. I don't give a damn. Saturation, give me fights every single day. What I really like is when they're not all on the same night. It bugs me when there's six things on one night. And I'm like, I can't watch all this.
When you're sitting there, you know, got one screen on one thing, another one, because you miss shit.
You can't.
It's
the worst experience ever. Like, I honestly, if there's two shows on at one time, I'd rather just focus on one and go back and watch the other one later.
That's what I'd – I don't know why I didn't think about that. Go back and watch it, because I'm always just like, let me just see the results.
Yeah.
But I don't usually try to do the two things because it never works for me.
I feel like I don't take enough out of it.
It's like my eyes only look in one direction. I can't spread them out.
There's some jokes, but I'm going to leave them.
I never.
There's throwing some insults out there, people. All right, listen. Good to be back with you, my man. It's been a while. Thank you again for filling in for me.
Fuck all that all coffee shit.
All the fans, let coffee know it was way better without John Morgan in it. Tell him, hey, we need some more solo episodes.
Thank you for those that did not cancel all your memberships after that one episode.
That's so great. So great. All right, so next week you're in San Diego, so we'll either – have to do remote or I'll do solo. We'll figure that out. Then we'll be together in Salt Lake City, so that'll be fun. And then I have no idea what the world holds after that, so I can't think that much in advance.
Yeah, because I was even just thinking, I was like, Tuesday night's going to be kind of rough. I was going to say we could always try to go early, but Tuesday night after doing the contender series, then trying to pack and then trying – yeah, I don't want to think about it. I like the solo idea better.
Oh, you want to do it yourself?
No.
I appreciate that. All right, well, good to be hanging out with you, man. We'll let you – you probably got to go knock out your 2-a-day or whatever. I'm just stopping
you.
Yeah,
I'll save it for later. You know, I'm just glad you came over. You know, the beers have been getting – you know, they're probably getting stale sitting in the fridge or something.
It's insane. The frosty beverages are lasting a lot longer at your house than they used to. I'm going to go knock out a couple more 12-ounce curls.
Yes.
And I'll be in LA tomorrow, so tune in and watch some boxing on UFC Fight Pass. Support the show, will you? In the meantime, thanks for listening.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.